Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Judges. Remember, the book of Judges starts out with the fact that Joshua is dead and gives kind of an intro that explains and foreshadows much that is to come. As the people of God failed to take hold of what God had promised, through unbelief, disobedience, they failed to get rid of the pagans who lived in the place, to be God's instruments of wrath in destroying a pagan, anti-God, demonic worshiping group of people whose sins had reached the heights where God was calling for their destruction. And because they refused to do that, they would suffer generation after generation. Now, beginning in chapter 2, it drops back briefly and speaks again of Joshua and his death. Look in Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed them and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, "Because this nation has violated the covenant that I laid down for their forefathers and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their forefathers did." The Lord had allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands which Moses had given their forefathers through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is an outline for what's coming. This is an overview. It looks back at what happened with Joshua and the elders and how, as long as they were alive, the people of Israel under their leadership did the right thing. And when they died, the people very quickly went their own way because it hadn't been internalized. Let me ask you a question. Do you behave the same way in private that you do when other people are around? Sometimes we are in a situation where, because of the influence of others, we do the right thing. Sometimes some of you, because of the influence of others, may do the wrong thing. But the real test of who you are and what you believe is when no one else is around. That's when the real you comes out. Will you do the right thing when you don't think anyone's looking? So, these folks, as long as they had Joshua and the elders, even after Joshua died, when the elders were still alive, they tended to do the right thing because they were influenced by people who knew the Lord. They had seen what God had done. They had seen amazing, miraculous things. And as a result, they feared the Lord. And they wanted to please him. Their eye was not just on others around them. Their focus was on the Lord. They knew that he knows what we're up to and that he will judge. But after that generation died off, there was a generation, and look at this description of them. This is tragic. Another generation grew up, verse 10, who neither knew the Lord nor what the Lord had done for Israel. They not only didn't know the Lord, that's a relational kind of thing, they didn't even know what the Lord had done for Israel. That's an intellectual kind of thing. And that bespeaks a failure on the part of the previous generation to teach the next generation what the Lord had done. The experiences that I've had in my life where God has answered prayer in supernatural ways, and it is so obvious that only God could have brought that about because there are just too many astounding things for it to be a series of coincidences. Those things have had an impact on me that is understandably greater than the impact of those stories on the people who hear those stories and think that's remarkable. I wonder if that's true. Well, let me tell you something. The things I tell you about how God has answered prayer in my life are true, and I don't dare exaggerate because I'm going to have to answer to him. And the God who has answered prayer miraculously in my life is a God who hates lying. So I'm not going to try and bring glory to his name by stretching things. But it is even more important by multiple magnitude that you understand that what we read in Scripture is not only true, it is alive. It is God-breathed. It is his word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the stories we're going to read in this book of Judges are not just true stories. They are God's word, things God wants us to know. And if we allow God's word to renew our minds, our lives will be transformed. And that's why we study this. They aren't just interesting stories.
Folks, let me take just a moment to encourage you to go on the internet and visit the website of Ware's Valley Ranch. For over 20 years, the ranch has provided a loving home environment for children who have a problem that they did not create. It may be a health crisis on the part of a parent or even the death of a parent. Often, it's the death of a marriage, leaving a single parent struggling to care for the children while working one or more jobs to provide for their support. Sometimes, it's a parent who struggles with alcohol or drug addiction, or even a case where one or both parents are in prison. These children are not the problem. They're not delinquents. They're simply caught in difficult circumstances. I hope you'll help us provide these little ones with the opportunity for hope and healing in a Christ-centered environment. You may know a child that needs our services as well. Please visit WVR to learn more. That's WVR.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Every single one of the judges gets his power from God, gets his success from God. Look in this chapter at what it says. The hand of the Lord raised up a judge for them. Verse 18. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. The reason that people were delivered was because the Lord had compassion on them and the Lord delivered them. He used a human instrument, but it was the Lord's power that made the difference. The Lord is the hero of the book of Judges, just like the Lord is the hero of the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua. Over and over and over and over we see people mess up, God doesn't. People fail to keep their covenant, their promise with God, God doesn't fail. God always is the same. Now, does what people do have an impact on what God does? Often does, yeah, absolutely. And that's where we started last time, saying that it's possible to fail to enter into what God offers if you don't walk in obedience. And we see that these people, because they didn't know the Lord, nor what he had done for Israel, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt, and they followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. Why? Well, because that's what the other people were doing. And those other gods that other people had were much more tangible. It was gods you could see. I remember years ago in New England, I was doing an outreach to kids who lived in a high-rise government facility. And part of the outreach, after we'd worked with the kids for a while in one afternoon a week Bible school type program, teaching them about the Lord, was to follow up with their families. The kids who came on a regular basis, who went to their homes, said to the parents, "This is what we're teaching your children in this after-school program. Just wanted to go over it with you and see if you have any questions." That was a wonderful opportunity for us to do evangelism. This one woman said to me, "Well, I appreciate what you are doing, and I am glad for my daughter to learn from you, but I have no interest in your religion because I have my own God." And I said, "Well, please tell me about your God." And she said, "Oh, well, I can show you my God." And she took me into her kitchen, and there on the kitchen counter was her God. And I said, "So that is a picture of your God?" And she said, "No, no. This is my God." And she was totally serious. Now, that's a foreign way of thinking for us. This particular woman was Hindu. They have lots of gods. And as far as she was concerned, she was able to get a God of her own to live in her kitchen on the counter. And she prayed to him. We say, how bizarre. You know, what a strange thing. You know, I mean, really, would you want a God who fits on the kitchen counter? Some people do. Some people want a God who has power, but not too much power. A God who I can see, a God who I can touch, a God who doesn't boss me around and tell me I can't do this and I must do that. That woman, as blind as she was to the truth of the gospel, was really not unlike tons of people who go to church, but their real gods are things they can fit in their pocket. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Why did he say that? Because so many people serve mammon. It's what they worship. So I'd be silly. Well, when it comes down to making a decision between what God says and what'll get me more money, there are an awful lot of people who choose the money over God. Right? So what do you really worship? These people became like the pagans around them, and they worshiped and served the false gods, the demonic gods that the people around them worshiped and served. Because everybody everywhere is going to serve something as God. If you want a lesson to take home today, let that be one of them. Everybody everywhere is going to serve something as God. And if you do not serve the God who is God, you will end up serving something less than God as God. That's what happened to these people. But I want you to see when that happened, God didn't stop being God. God did what he had said ahead of time he would do if the people didn't serve him, and that is he would become their enemy. That's the first thing that happened. When they forsook the Lord, they provoked the Lord to anger. And so, verse 15, whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them. It wasn't just neutral. The hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them just as he had sworn to them. And they were in great distress. So God didn't stop being God. God did what he said he would do if they behaved like that. He didn't become neutral and say, well, you know, we'll just have to see what happens. God said, I'm going to humble these people. I'm going to bring these people to a place of brokenness. I'm going to use pain in their lives in order to wake them up to the fact that the path they are on leads to destruction eternally. And so God inflicted defeat upon them and brought in raiders, pagan people, to come in and rule over them so that they would come to the point of crying out to God. And when they did, God would come and rescue them and demonstrate his power and his glory and give them the opportunity to trust in them. And every time he did that, they would temporarily worship and serve the Lord. Oh, how could we have been so blind? How could we have been so stupid? Of course, there is only one God. His name is Yahweh. We will worship him. And when the judge died, the people went right back to their old ways. They went right back to doing what they'd done before. That is really, really sad. That is really, really like a lot of us. As long as that judge was there, everything went smoothly. When that judge was gone, the people did what their ancestors before them had done. Moses goes up the mountain, and after a while, the people down below say, we don't know what happened to Moses. We need a God we can worship. Make us an image. And Aaron did so. The human heart, said one great servant of the Lord, is a continual idol-making factory. It's our nature. We produce things that we can worship, that we can be devoted to. Folks, I want you to understand that you will end up devoting your love, your energies, your time, your emotion to something You're going to. Might be snowboarding, okay? Might be parkour. It might be any number of things. But if Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, if you're not devoted to Him so that everything else becomes about bringing glory to Him and serving Him, you've got a problem with idolatry. These folks became devoted to other things, and the Lord humbled them. And out of their misery, they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord had compassion upon them and rescued them, and they went right back to doing the wrong thing. When I was a kid, I heard the story about a man who was up on the roof, suddenly lost his grip and started sliding and realized it was a high roof and he could be killed. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Just then his pants caught on a nail. And he said, "Never mind, Lord, my pants just caught on a nail." I've always loved that story. Because I'm like that man. When I'm in trouble, I need the Lord's help, Lord, please. And the Lord helps me, and I think, oh, well, I guess I didn't need help after all. Everything's fine. It's okay. No problem. Don't be like that man. Realize it's the Lord who had that nail in that place and caused you to get caught on a piece of fabric that was tough enough not to just rip off and leave a little piece of thread up there on the roof with you down on the ground. God steps in time and again. We have no clue how many times the Lord has rescued us and delivered us. My father was driving back home in the wee hours of the morning in a rural section of southern Illinois. And as he sped along this little dirt road surrounded by tall corn on both sides of this country road, he suddenly, as he sped along, heard a voice that said, "Slow down!" And he just reflexively hit the brake. And seconds later, on one of the other dirt roads running through the corn pastures, none of which had any stop signs, a car went this way. And Dad realized if he hadn't heard that voice and reflexively hit the brake, he would have been right in the path of that car and been killed. And he said, "I know it was God that saved my life. I know it was God that saved my life." And he said, "But I wonder how many other times God has saved my life, and I didn't know it." You see, those other people, they didn't hear a voice. They just went on by. We need to give thanks to Him for all that He has done for us and worship Him. And if you're not worshiping God, you'll end up worshiping something less than God. So, this is the introduction. There's a whole list of pagan peoples that were left in the land in order that the people might be tested. And the sad story of Judges is that time and again, they failed the test. God left these people there to test them, and they failed the test. God would rescue them when they cried out to Him, and then they would mess up again. And God would rescue them again, and then they would mess up again. Is that going to be the story of your life? Doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that these stories were given to us to serve as examples and warnings that we might not repeat the same mistakes. God is offering you better things. Don't miss out through unbelief and disobedience.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.